Do you guys remember Norway? You know, land of the Vikings, beautiful women, amazing landscapes.
A huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
Well, this is Norway now.
Le Mashiach viendra que quand Edom, l'Europe, la chrétienté sera totalement tombée. Donc je vous pose la question, c'est une bonne nouvelle que l'islam envahisse l'Europe? C'est une excellente nouvelle, ça annonce l'avenue du Mashiach. Excellente nouvelle.
Vous allez le payer très cher les Européens. Mais à un point, vous n'avez même pas notion de quoi on parle. Et vous n'aurez pas au fil. Parce que tout le mal que vous avez fait à Israël, vous le paierez au centuple. Quand l'Italie disparaîtra, quand Edom, c'est pour ça que le QG de la chrétienté qui vient de Esav se trouve là-bas, quand cet endroit-là disparaîtra, et c'est ce que veut faire l'islam, il s'occupe. L'islam, c'est le balai d'Israël, sachez-le.
It's really sad to see our beautiful continent be overrun like this.
Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make.
You see, I've got no problems with immigrants. I'm an immigrant myself. But this isn't immigration. This is complete population replacement.
Le Mashiach viendra que quand Edom, l'Europe, la chrétienté sera totalement tombée. Donc je vous pose la question, c'est une bonne nouvelle que l'islam envahisse l'Europe? C'est une excellente nouvelle, ça annonce l'avenue du Mashiach. Excellent.
We are being replaced and people need to wake the fuck up. You see, Muslim families are reproducing on a scale of 8-1 in comparison to the 1-1 for white people. If we do the maths correctly, in about 40 years, Europe will be Muslim.
At the end of days, you're going to need the iron of Esav, which represents Edom, which is the West, Europe and the Americas, to get intermixed with Ishmael, which is basically Arabs and Muslims. How in the world was this ever going to happen if not for this refugee crisis? At the end of days, you're going to have this intermixing between Esav, Edom, which is the West, and the East, which is the Muslims and the Arabs, making this through this influx into the world. And they're going to have children, you know, I don't want to say by the dozens, but they're going to have a far larger birth rate than the indigenous people there, and they're going to sort of conquer by number. And there are many different sources for this. One of them in Yehezkel, chapter 14, and many other sources as far as this is concerned, where it's mentioned very, very vividly what will happen to the Jews and what will happen to Yerushalayim and what will happen to the world at that time, where there will be many, many people killed and so on and so forth. So the idea of having these refugees come into Europe, it's no longer a matter of whether it's right or wrong. It's just simply fulfillment of what it was meant to be all along. This is the fulfillment of, you know, the Hazal and the prophecies. This has to happen, and this is just another sign that we are nearing, you know, the completion of this tikkun of the entire world.
And what do you think will happen to our laws when they're the majority?
Yeah, folks, the human landscape is changing rapidly across Europe and across the West in general. And it's all being done by design. All being done by design. I mean, as you saw there, they said Islam is the broom of Israel. And Israel is copping so much shit all over the world. Gen Z are completely awake to the lies of Israel. The whole Charlie Kirk thing, amazing how it's backfired. Hasn't done what they wanted it to do at all. They thought they'd better get rid of him. There'd be this whole tearful goodbye, complete with fireworks display at his funeral, whatever it was, that event they had, where Erica Kirk was there all in the angelic white. Ben Shapiro saying he's going to take over and all sorts of stuff, and they're standing up for their dear friend who had been completely speaking out against Israel. Interesting how it all works, but it backfired on them. Candace Owens has been totally just going hard on it still. As I've said though, I mean, a lot of this stuff is a distraction from everything else. I mean, it's good in a way, it's backfired and people are waking up to what's going on. But it's a distraction from everything that's happening. I mean, the genocides that are going on, the genocide in Gaza, the genocide in Sudan, which has all been done by the same people. I mean, the people carrying out the genocide in Sudan are being supplied with weapons by Israel. So, you know, it's the same people, folks. It's always the same people. But there's that, and there's the whole replacement of Western populations. And it's even still people that I know who think the problem has been one of the, you know, main problems that we've faced that's brought us to this point has been white people. And these are people that I know that are pretty awake, and they still say, well, you know, it's kind of white liberals that have done all this. And no, it isn't. It's all been contrived. The whole social breakdown has been contrived. There was that speech that was put out by that Russian guy when he explained how communism takes over countries, and it's, you know, it's a few step process over generations. You've got to demoralize them, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And they were surprised how quickly they were able to do it with the West. And it's that sort of a process.
Ideological subversion is the slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually, it's over-fulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his balls, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization. The next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation, it's what matters is essentials. Economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world that the process will go that fast. The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization. It may last indefinitely. Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from Soviet propaganda. When the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 68, Comrade Brezhnev said, "Now the situation in brotherly Czechoslovakia is normalized." This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these schmucks to bring the country to crisis, to promise people all kind of goodies and the paradise on earth, to destabilize your economy, to eliminate the principle of free market competition, and to put a big brother government in Washington, D.C., with benevolent dictators like Walter Mondale, who will promise lots of things, never mind whether the promises are fulfillable or not. Your leftists in the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, they are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Lenin has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot. But they may turn into the most bitter enemies of Marxist-Leninists when they come to power. And that's what happened in Nicaragua. You remember most of these former Marxist-Leninists were either put to prison or one of them split, and now he's working against Sandinistas. It happened in Grenada when Maurice Bishop was already a Marxist. He was executed by a new Marxist who was more Marxist than this Marxist. Same happened in Afghanistan when first there was Taraki, he was killed by Amin, then Amin was killed by Babrak Karmal with the help of KGB. Same happened in Bangladesh when Mujibur Rahman, very pro-Soviet leftist, was assassinated by his own Marxist-Leninist military comrades. It's the same pattern everywhere. The time bomb is ticking with every second.
Yeah, so you can't really blame white people for what has happened. And, you know, the need to exterminate the white people. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And it's all being done by the same people. The guys with small hats that are carrying out the current genocide in Gaza. Look at this place, folks. It's beautiful, isn't it? I'm filming this in Sedona. I'll be gone by the time you see it, but that's where I'm doing it. I think this lens might be dirty, folks. I'm just going to check the lens. I'll be back. Yeah, I think that's going to be a little bit better. But yeah, it's all distraction. I mean, there's so much stuff going on beneath the surface of what people are seeing. And I don't have any notes here today either, folks. I'm just actually visiting a friend in Sedona on my way back to Mexico. And so I thought I'd do a video while I was here. I mean, I haven't done a video for a month. It's actually been really good. I haven't even been really looking at news or information. I've made maybe 4 or 5 posts on Twitter over the whole time, or X, over the whole month. You know, been there, just responded to a few comments or whatever, you know. And I've done that maybe 4 or 5 times over the last month, and that's it. Maybe left one comment on BitChute. I haven't been reading any comments. I haven't been watching any videos. I haven't been looking at any news. I just time out for a month. I mean, for so long, I've said I need to have a break. And, you know, I'll have a couple of weeks off making videos, but I'm still doing stuff. I'm still doing lectures, or I'm still touring, or I'm still talking with people, or I'm still doing whatever. This is the first time since probably, I don't know, 2005, that I've actually just switched off and went offline and just experienced my life and experienced the world. And it was good. And I ended up here in Sedona. What a place to end up. Incredible place. If you've never been here, it really is a wonderfully beautiful place. I mean, where I'm standing here and where I'm walking around, you're not getting a lot of the view of the mountains, but there's some incredible mountain views in this country. I was up looking at a few of them yesterday. Absolutely incredible places. It's a really, really remarkable area. Named after the founder's wife, I believe, whose name was Sedona. So yeah, that's where I ended up. But like I said, I'll be gone by the time you see this. I've got to go back to Mexico, do a few things, and get organized for an Acapulco next year, which is going to be in Puerto Vallarta. Excuse me. My voice is a little funny. I've had a little bit of kind of a laryngitis-y thing going on. My throat feels a little funny. It's kind of weird. But, yes, I've been offline for a long time. But while I've been offline, I've still been, you know, observing a little bit of what's going on. And the big thing that's happening, of course, is the digital ID. And this is stuff that I talked about on my last two videos. The last video that I put up actually got pulled from YouTube. Interesting. You know, they let you back on there, then they start pulling your videos again. I didn't get a strike or anything like that. Didn't get any type of warning. I said, we pulled your video because it was against our community guidelines or whatever. I can't remember what I even said in it. I think I was talking about the people with small hats, probably. I wonder whether I should go down there. I might as well go down here and go for a walk around the block. I was probably talking about the guys with small hats and they didn't like it or whatever. So that wouldn't surprise me. But they did pull it. And, you know, you've got to question, why have they even allowed me back on YouTube? Originally, when I tried to upload a video, they wanted a phone number. And I thought, well, it's surveillance. That's why they want me up there. So I didn't do it. And then when I was in Croatia, one of the people I was staying with in Croatia said, hey, look, you can use my phone number, Max. And, you know, you just buy a Croatian SIM card, put a number in the phone. You can use that for confirmation and verification online for your YouTube account. And, you know, we'll ditch the SIM card or whatever. And it's all good. I thought, hey, that's a good idea. So I tried to upload a video again and just let me do it. Not a problem. Didn't ask for a phone number like it did the first time. So I thought, okay. So I uploaded a video. And then the next one I uploaded was a 16-minute video called The Kalergi Plan, Practical Idealism in Action. And I thought, well, this will test them. But they left it up there. Not a problem. So, okay. So then the next video I uploaded, nah, they took it down. But I think what they want to do with this and why they're giving people their accounts back is they want to get tabs on everybody. They want to know where everybody is. You know, they want to know if there's people on YouTube that are still thinking conspiratorially. See, the mainstream media is flailing, absolutely flailing. Like I said, people like Candace Owens, as much as I don't trust, I mean, she's so mainstream. Apparently she's got the biggest podcast in the world at the moment, where more people are watching her than anybody else, Joe Rogan or anybody. And what she's been mainly doing is talking about Charlie Kirk and exposing Israel. And so there's all sorts of stuff online saying that she's lost her mind and she needs a psychiatric evaluation and all sorts of stuff. Like, they're really, really scared of what she's saying. And what she's saying is actually really good. Yeah, and I look at it and I think, well, this is gatekeeping. If you're someone who's awake and you know what's going on and you're fully aware of all the stuff that she's saying, then she's not telling you anything new. But like I said back at the beginning of this whole COVID thing, you're going to see people who have been completely indoctrinated into the mainstream way of thinking that are suddenly going to change their opinions. They're going to have an awakening and they're going to want to share that with the world. And when you look at what she's doing, She's asking questions. She's not really saying this is what's going on, but she's asking questions. Where are they in control of everything? And do they control narrative completely? Do they just create these false flag shootings and all sorts of stuff like that? And it's actually very clever. This is the way I've done videos for years and years. I've done videos where, I mean, I know what the answer is, but I've just asked the question during the video, during the radio show. And people would contact me and say, Max, I think I know the answer to that question. I'm going, it's all good. I already know the answer to the question. I just wanted you to ask the question, so you would discover the truth for yourself, because real truth must be realized. And I kind of see what Candace Owens is doing, and that's kind of what she's doing, which is interesting to watch this coming from someone that's kind of mainstream as Candace Owens. So there is the possibility that she is actually having a genuine awakening. But even if she isn't, she's certainly causing a lot of young people to ask the right questions. Look at this place, folks. It's beautiful, isn't it? Sedona. Very nice place. I don't know whether I want to walk down the main road here, but maybe I could. It's pretty relaxed, though. Yeah. So maybe I could. But yeah, but through that, I mean, the whole Gen Z thing, they're not buying into the mainstream narrative at all. The mainstream media is literally flailing. They're getting no views. They got bots, you know, pumping up views everywhere, pro-Israeli stuff, so much pro-Israeli propaganda all over X. You can see just how desperate they are. If I want to walk down the main road, but it's beautiful, isn't it? Sedona. Yeah, but you can see just how desperate the mainstream media is to try to keep the narrative under control, and they're totally losing the narrative, which is why they're rolling out all this digital ID and all this sort of stuff as well. See, that's the thing as well. I mean, even with what Candace Owens is doing, I said on the last show or the last report or the one before or perhaps both, that all of this focus on things like Charlie Kirk, people aren't looking at the bigger picture and seeing what's going on behind the scenes. And behind the scenes, they are rolling out this whole digital slavery system. And they're doing it right now. Apple just announced that they are rolling out digital ID for iPhones, and how great and convenient it's going to be for everybody. That everyone needs to get their digital ID. And like I said before, folks, this is something you must not ever comply with. If there's a hill to die on, it's a digital ID. Once they've got your digital ID, and everything's linked up together for your convenience, of course. Well, they started giving you passwords and all this shit to begin with, because it's all linked up together. And you know, they want to give you all these passwords and all this stuff to make it inconvenient, so that you're going to want to get a digital ID. You know, that's the whole plan. They set all this stuff in place, put this whole digital system up, and then make you need passwords and tell you how hackable it is and make it all totally inconvenient. Two-step verification, which completely fucks you up everywhere you go. You know, if you're someone who travels a lot, I mean, there's so many times that I travel and suddenly I can't access my email, or I can't access this because I'm sitting in an airport somewhere, or I'm in a foreign country and the website will say, oh, look, yeah, we've detected that you're in a different location to what you are, so we need to verify who you are, so we're going to send you a text on a phone. And you're like, well, I don't have a freaking phone. And I'm in a foreign country anyway, so the phone doesn't work. It's ridiculous. So they do all this stuff to make it really inconvenient. So then you're just going to, wow, just a digital ID. And it's all done. It's all in one place. Bang. Scan a QR code and you're good to go. So it seems really good to a lot of people. But it's not. And once they start bringing in digital currency, and I think this is one of the reasons they've kept the US dollar the way it is as well, like US currency. US currency is unique to any other currency in the world. The US dollar, the fiat currency they hand around. Because all the notes are the same size. Still made of paper. Easy to counterfeit. You can simply get $1 note, get some sort of a wash all the ink off a $1 note. If you can get plates, print yourself up a $100 note. Same paper, same size. Who's going to know? It's very easy to counterfeit US money, and I think they've done that for a reason, because then it creates the need for digital currency. And once they give you a digital ID and a digital currency, well, they've got you. Now, if you do anything they don't like, you post anything on X they don't like, any opinion they disagree with, start questioning what happened to Charlie Kirk, find out you're a Candace Owens subscriber, whatever, you know. And suddenly you'll get penalized. You'll be down on social credit points because you're buying into misinformation. That's the way they do it now. They label anything that disagrees with them as misinformation. And suddenly once you've got your electric car, because all the petrol cars and gas cars have been banned and outlawed for climate change. So you've got your digital currency, you got your digital electric car, you got your digital everything, your digital ID, they got surveillance shit up everywhere. Suddenly they tell you there's a lockdown, you can't go more than 5 kilometers from your home. If you try to go more than 5 kilometers from your home, all your stuff's going to stop working, your car will stop working, your digital ID will stop working, your digital cash will stop working. So, you know, and if you say anything they don't like, well, they can just switch you off. Though what I've done to like 23 million people, I think, in China now, they just switch them off.
The Supreme Court has created a blacklist for so-called bad citizens, those whose ratings have dropped to zero. On it are companies, but also 23 million people to date.
So you don't have access to public transport, you can't buy a house, or you can't do this, you can't do whatever. This is how they control you. This will be the ultimate slavery system. And if people allow this to come into place, then your children are not going to know what freedom was. They're not going to have any reference point. This is something that I said years ago. And through this education system and this replacement of the population that's going on and everything that's happening, the kids that grow up into this system will have absolutely no reference point for what freedom actually is. It's like in 1984 in George Orwell's book, you know, when they took certain words out of the language so people knew they wanted to rebel, but they didn't know what rebellion was because there was no word in the language to describe rebellion. That's what they do. Change everything. That's why they're digitizing all the books and all the shit they're doing, folks. They're doing this whole thing as a way of controlling people, a way of controlling information, and a way of controlling thought. Getting everybody locked into these digital realms. You know, whereby virtual reality becomes better than reality. So the video game graphics go up and people don't notice. People just don't notice where they're being led. And then they get distracted by all these things such as Charlie Kirk. And sure, it's bad. And I think he probably died. It makes no reason for them to have kept him alive. But I don't know. I mean, there's so much fakery now. Man, how do I even know Charlie Kirk was even real? I never met him, you know? Maybe it was all just a hologram. Maybe why so much blood came out of his jugular vein straight away, or his jugular artery straight away, which would have been why there was so much blood, because it's an artery pumping straight from the heart, like the heart's here and the hole's there. You know, it had like that far to go, just bleh. But then there's no blood anywhere else. There's no blood on his shirt when they're carrying him out. There's no blood trail anywhere. I mean, it's crazy. The whole thing was nuts. Then there was that weird camera up the back that looked like a holographic camera. I mean, who freaking knows, folks? Who knows? How do we know anything that we see on TV is real? Honestly. Any of it. I'm sure there's people out there that have met Donald Trump, but I never have. How do I even know he's real? How do I know any of this shit's real anymore? And now with all this AI and all these digital videos...
I want to address the fake news jabbering about AIPAC saying that the tribe is controlling the U.S. Look, we might run the banks, the media, Hollywood, politics, Congress, maybe even had Epstein on speed dial, who knows. But other influence? Nah, pure nonsense. And by the way, I'm sending another $6 gazillion to Israel.
It's freaking unbelievable. You know, it's just about controlling people's perception. That's all television and news and all of this shit is all about, folks. It's about controlling people's perception. While they just create excuses to exterminate mass amounts of people. Like what's going on in Palestine, what's going on in Sudan, what's going on in so many places around the world. And has been going on for so many years. It's crazy. It's crazy. And how do you know any of it's real? Look at these chemtrails, folks. Look at this shit. Sedona. Apparently, like when I was on the way down here, like I came into Phoenix and we were driving down here. A friend of mine came and picked me up. And she was saying, well, you know, there's never any chemtrails in Sedona. It's really cool. It's a great place, you know. And then yesterday, as soon as we arrived, they started absolutely hammering the place with chemtrails. And they've been doing so all night. And last night, there was a huge... like aurora in the sky. Everyone said it was the aurora borealis that they were seeing in the sky. All the skies were red, right across southern USA. They're out there, people posting pictures of it. I'd just gone to bed and I didn't want to get up and look at it, but my friend whose place I'm staying at, I went out and got a bunch of photographs, and I'm sure she'll send to me. And but this isn't aurora borealis. This is something to do with the spraying. I mean, aurora borealis is like lines and streaks and like streams across the sky, streams of particles. It doesn't look like this red sky that they saw over Sedona last night. So God knows what it was, folks, but crazy. She also told me it never rains here. Now the forecast is that it's going to be raining by the weekend. So, yeah. All this massive spraying, and then suddenly the weather changes. And it all happens right on the day that I arrive. Crazy. But yeah, anyway, I'm leaving today anyway, so it doesn't matter. But remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. But as I've said before, as I've been alluding to lately, when you look at all this stuff, folks, the mass immigration that's happening in all of our countries, this rollout of digital ID, which is really the most important thing you've got to be thinking about, folks, is this digital ID. This is stuff I've been warning you about since 2010. You know, really, really blowing the whistle on it, you know, since COVID started, because it's all related. And now they're just doing it. And you absolutely have to not comply with that. And what you've got to understand is that, like, even looking at the state of our countries and all this mass immigration, it isn't normal immigration. It's just population replacement. That's what's happening in all of our countries. We're being invaded. And the people that are allowing this to happen are the politicians that we elect to safeguard our nation. Well, I don't, because I don't vote, but you elect to safeguard your nation and your security. This is in all countries. This is across Europe. I mean, most of Europe, they gave their sovereignty away, gave it to the European Union, which was a terrible mistake. But Even that, even your politicians signing up to the European Union is essentially an act of treason. But now, and when you look at the European Union, getting back to that, I mean, that short report that I did, Practical Idealism in Action, the Kalergi report, or the Kalergi plan, shows you that, that Coldenhove Kalergi was the father of the EU. And the idea right from the onset was population replacement. That was the whole concept.
It's very clear that the Jews want to exterminate the European race. Richard Coudenhove Kalergi, who is the father of the European Union and who was funded by the Jewish bankers Rothschild and Warburg. Now, this man wrote a book called Praktischer Idealismus in 1925, in which he stated that the Jews are a master race and that the Jews can only assume the throne of rule over the world by weakening the European race, and that the means to weakening the European race would be to dissolve all the European nations, destroy all their cultural heritage and their national traditions, and replace that with the European Union, and then to invite in Africans, Middle Easterners, and Asians to dilute the blood of Europeans through miscegenation to the point where they became a degenerate mixed race.
That's what the Kalergi plan's all about. But they had to turn all of Europe into one entity in order to be able to pull it off. So, I mean, your government even signing up to the EU is essentially an act of treason. And the fact that they're allowing migrants to overrun your countries to the extent that they have is also an act of treason. This is population replacement. So why are you still seeing these people as legitimate? And when you look at this, now people are waking up. People are waking up to what's going on with Charlie Kirk. People are waking up to population replacement. People are waking up to the corruption of the system itself. I mean, it's corrupt in every single way. There's nothing about it that is pure, wholesome, good, honest, or nice. Well, perhaps it's nice when you look up the meaning of what nice actually is, which, you know, comes from the French naissere, which means to be ignorant, stupid, and uninformed. You know, have a nice day. So, yeah, perhaps the system is nice to us, but it certainly doesn't look after us. And this is an act of treason. And as I've said before, you know, what do you do in this situation? You know, a lot of people see this and they say, well, you know, we've got to go and overthrow them. Violent revolution, all this sort of shit. The thing is, this is why they have militarized the police in all of our countries. This is why they've got, you know, these ICE units running around the United States and armored vehicles, and why police wear body armor. I mean, you can't have a standing military on the ground in any democracy. So what the governments have done to get around this is they've militarized the police. They say, well, it's not a standing army, it's just police, but we have to give the police this type of protection because of all the crime which they staged themselves, all these mass shootings and all sorts of shit, you know, which is all theatre. Half of them aren't even real. You know, the ones that are real, they generally stage themselves. Like the whole Charlie Kirk thing. I mean, there's so many questions with that. It's ridiculous. But you've got to see how all this has happened, right? So even if all of the United States is armed, I mean, you're not really going to win against these people, because these people have more sophisticated weapons. They have drones. They have all sorts of stuff that you can't even imagine how good some of the stuff they've got is. You look where arms resistance gets you. Have a look at Palestine. Have a look at Gaza. That is people, just normal people with light weapons, you know, Kalashnikovs, AK-47s, pistols, not even a lot of pistols, just mainly AK-47s. And they're fighting back against one of the most advanced militaries on earth. It's got drones, fucking, you know, artillery strikes, fucking air strikes, like all sorts of advanced bombs, bombs that suck the oxygen out of the air. Temperature, controlled temperature, and they suck all the oxygen out so that your lungs and internal organs collapse. Which is why you see so many dead babies in Gaza that simply look like they're sleeping, when they're dead, because all of the lungs and internal organs have simply collapsed, and it happens in like a matter of, you know, a second or two, just bang, you're dead, you know. So and a lot of them were killed while they were sleeping, you know, and then suddenly their organs and lungs instantly collapse from the type of bombs that Israel is dropping on the houses. So when you think about this and you think, well, this is the weapons that governments have got, there's no real form of armed insurrection that's going to work against government. But what you've got to understand is that all of this depends on your compliance. And if you don't comply with digital ID, well, they might lock you out of services. Well, fine. Lock them out of services as well. See, all of we people, as I've said, yeah, we could withdraw service from politicians and anybody who support politicians, because all of we the people are who run all the businesses. Might run the businesses according to government regulations, but we still run the businesses. We are the ones who make the car parts, who run the farms, run the industries. These are all people. And it's the people that provide service to government for anything they want. I mean, a politician, if a politician wants his lawn mowed, he doesn't generally do it himself. He gets a lawnmower in. What if the lawnmower says, well, no, I'm not going to mow your lawn today? And in fact, you can get someone else to mow your lawn. But what if nobody in the entire neighborhood or the entire county would agree to mowing this guy's lawn? Well, suddenly he's not going to get his lawn mowed, is he? Because everyone's withdrawn service from him. What if he wants to go to a restaurant, but no one will serve him a meal because of all this digital ID that he is supporting, and the fact that he's allowing your country to be overrun with migrants? Well, you're not serving the community, so now you go and eat at another restaurant. But no restaurant in town will serve this guy because they know who he is. You know, and perhaps you're a secretary who works for this guy, and you just suddenly say, well, no, I'm not going to work for you as a secretary anymore, because you're not serving the community, so I'm not going to offer any service to you. I don't want your money because it's dirty money. And if you are a secretary and you work for someone like this and you don't quit your job and get another one, then perhaps people will stop serving you at shops as well. You know, go shop at a different supermarket. Only no supermarket in this county will serve you and allow you service in their store. No hardware store, no builder, no concreter, no petrol station, gasoline station. No one will give you service because of what you have done to the community. And this is a completely non-violent way of bringing it home to these politicians and all these people. People like Ted Cruz or whatever. Ah, sure, okay, if you're not going to give me service, well, there's other people who will. Well, stop giving them service. You know, like, there's millions upon millions of people who hate what these politicians are doing, but they still kind of see them as being untouchable, but they're not. They're just people, just like you and me. And most of the politicians, especially in the United States and in many other countries, have all been bought by the rogue state of Israel, but most especially in the United States. You know, and this is why a lot of Americans are getting a bit of a hard time around the world as well. And I know a lot of really good Americans. I mean, your basic American individual is a good person. Well, people here in Sudan, I mean, most Americans I meet are friendly, they're kind, they're generous, they're courteous, happy to meet someone from another country, they're very friendly, good people, you know. The problem is the government. And the problem is the government has been supplying weapons of genocide to Israel and making a huge profit out of it while it does it, you know, in order to genocide children, which has been live streamed on X for the last 2 years and TikTok and everywhere else. And so, you know, the United States is seen by much of the world now as being complicit in genocide as much as Israel, because Israel couldn't do what any of the stuff is doing if it wasn't for the United States. You know, people like Leonardo DiCaprio wants to go and build a hotel in Gaza. I mean, you want to go and build a resort on the bones of murdered children, you fucking parasite. Unbelievable, you know. And Jared Kushner's got all these real estate contracts for Gaza, you know. And, well, I mean, the whole, I told you the ceasefire was bullshit. Israel was going to break it. You know, they've moved the yellow line again and again and again. Israel currently controls half of the Gaza Strip. They're dividing north from south. They're just going to go and exterminate anybody. You know, anybody who doesn't leave must be Hamas, but of course we've blocked all exits, so you can't leave. And if we find you hiding in tunnels, well, then you're definitely Hamas. And so this is just what they're doing, folks. They're just going to exterminate the entire population. And I say it's because of the problem of Hamas. Hamas won't disarm. Basically, they're saying, you know, anybody who tries to resist our takeover of this place by the use of arms, well, they must be Hamas, so we're going to kill them. So that's the plan. You know? Good morning. So we knew this was coming, and I warned you this was coming, and this is exactly what they're doing. But it hasn't gone away, and it's not going to go away until they've exterminated all of the Palestinian people. And they're killing Christians as much as anything else. They burned a whole Christian village the other day, known to be a Christian village. They burned it because that's what they do. There was an article or a post I saw on X. It was Pete Hegseth complaining that Christians were being slaughtered and massacred in Sudan. And I posted this link to the Jewish settlers burning the only Christian village left in West Bank, Tabia or something like that, I think it's called. And I said, what about this one, Pete? Does it count when Jews do it? No comment, of course. But yeah, it's this ongoing thing, folks. And like I said, Palestine and Gaza and West Bank has always been a system of warehousing and surplusing human beings. They show you the level of violence they're prepared to resort to control people. And then they bring in this digital ID, digital currency, and to start their system of warehousing and surplusing the West, while slowly replacing the Western population with migrants. Not because they want the place to be ruled by Islam, but they want to make it obvious, and they want to create a situation whereby the amount of Islamic people overrunning your country is going to create a problem. And it's going to create some form of civil war eventually within your country. White people simply wanting to maintain their heritage and their culture while they're being replaced by huge amounts of Muslims who all breed 6, 7, 8 times quicker. You know, all Muslims will have, you know, 8 children. White people are lucky if they have 1, because they're taught that, you know, it's bad for the environment, climate change, you know. So sheer volume of births is what's going to replace Western population, no doubt. And this will end up in a situation of civil war, and what will be left of Western population will flood to the aid of Israel, because they'll say, well, you were right. The Muslims came and they took over our countries and blah, blah, blah. All contrived by the same people. All completely contrived by the same people. So what is left of the Goy will run to aid Israel, and then the rest of the war against East and West will continue until all of Amalek is destroyed, and then Israel will just go in and wipe out the Muslims through their superior weapons, and there'll be no international law or any of that sort of shit to worry about, because it will all be just the big cleansing that had to happen. Because I say, well, look what Islam just did to the West. Islam just destroyed the West, but it was Israel right from the start doing the whole thing. It just knew it would be able to use Islam against Western nations, because Western people are essentially good people who don't want war. They don't like going out and killing. They don't see any joy or get any bloodlust from going out and slicing the head off their enemy. Not like Israel does, not like lots of Islam does. They revel in that sort of stuff, where as white people, we really just want to get along, you know, be creative, see what we could do. I mean, a lot of white people, it may not seem that way, but a lot of them are pretty spiritually based as far as their regard for humanity are. You don't see that in a lot of other cultures. You certainly don't see it in Judaism. You don't see it in any religious-based society. So, yeah. So you look at all that, folks, and you think, well, who's responsible? Well, it's our politicians. And if people aren't going to stand up and they're not going to fight back and they're not going to do whatever, and again, I don't think civil war will lead us anywhere. I mean, sure, I think you should protect yourself and defend yourself and all that sort of stuff, and you need to. But you've got to remove all support away from the politicians, away from the people that have done this. Even the products, stop buying Jewish-Israeli products. Stop supporting their system. Stop voting. Stop supporting these people in any way, shape or form. Don't sell them gasoline. Don't work for them. Don't be their secretary. Don't build their homes. Don't fix their cars. Don't sell them food. Don't let them shop at your supermarket. Don't use their digital system. Don't sign up for your own slavery. And do it by just willful ignorance of them even existing. You know, as far as I'm concerned, they don't exist. The whole concept of government is just an idea. It's a meme. It's a concept. You know, you need to do what you're told because it says so in this book. And this book pretends to be law when there's really only one law, which is God's law, which is do no harm. It's really simple. You know, I've got through my whole life and made it to 68 years old by simply ignoring them. And as far as I'm concerned, they don't exist. Their system exists only so much as I get the tools that I need to have freedom of movement. So I can step with one foot in and one foot out. But that's only really a toe in. Because all I've got is a driver's license, a passport, and registration on my car. I have that so that I can drive the car and not get stopped every 5 minutes by some idiot. I want freedom of movement. I've got a passport because I like to travel and I want freedom of movement. And that's it. My bank is an online bank, not really affiliated with any country. I don't know how to get away from needing money, unfortunately. So, you know, you've got to have something like that. But, you know, there's just really nothing that I do that involves me with the system apart from having the documents that I need to be able to just slip through the cracks and continue to have freedom of movement. That's it. And I've got to 68 years old without ever voting. Living in a country where voting is compulsory, you get fined if you don't vote. I've never voted, never been fined for not voting. I've never owned a credit card. The only reason I have a cell phone is so I could actually open a bank account. The only reason I use it is to sometimes catch an Uber when I'm traveling in the United States. And that's it. I've never made a phone call on it and text anybody on it. I don't even use WhatsApp on the phone. I don't use any of this shit on the phone. I have it because I was forced to have it in order to have a bank account, because without a bank account, I can't live. So, you know, you got to step out of the system as much as you can, and it's actually quite easy to do. The problem is that they've digitized everything. They've got so many people so used to using credit cards to do shopping and all this sort of stuff that it's, and they've made it, you know, like, if you travel, like I said, it's you know, two-factor identification, all this sort of bullshit, which I don't have on anything, which really makes it difficult to travel. So, and the only reason it makes it difficult for me to travel is because other people go along with all this sort of shit. It's a problem, see? That's, you know, if you comply with their digital system and you sign up for a digital ID, you're helping lead the rest of the world off the cliff. Yeah, that's not good, so. But there are ways, folks, there are ways. You know, you've just got to be yourself. Refuse to acknowledge these people exist. Don't give service to anybody who supports this system. Refuse their digital ID with everything you've got. Just say no. Oh, you've got to get your digital ID here. No, I won't be doing that. I'll just be traveling the way I am because I still have my original documents, which have been good for the last 100 years. And the digital system is too flawed and hackable, so no, I won't be participating in that. Plus, I refuse to support organised crime, or I'll be coerced into supporting organised crime, and so I won't be supporting the government's digital system after the government's track record of allowing migrants into this country and wars and genocide and all the shit that this government has done. After the lies we've been told, no thank you, I won't be giving you my digital ID. And if you're saying that I am forced to do so, well, I would suggest that that is a breach of my rights, it's a breach of the Constitution, it's pretty much an act of treason. So you're treading on pretty thin ice there. And I'd like your name, and I'd like your address, and I'd like to lodge a formal complaint, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you can go down that pathway if you want to. Just say no. But so, well, you know, I'm not going to be doing it. If you're going to force me, well, that's the path we will be going down. Because what you are doing is a breach of everything it means to be free, a free human being under the eyes of God. And it doesn't matter what the government says. If the government is forcing this upon the people, then the government has, by default, invalidated itself. You know, not to mention the fact that it's allowing our country to be overrun with migrants, and which, again, is an act of treason. I mean, you know, if you really want to go to court and talk about all this stuff, I'm sure it can be arranged, but this is the path we're going to be taking, and this is the stuff we're going to be talking about, and I'll be bringing the rest of the community with me, you know. So I mean, that's the way you've got to approach it, folks. You just got to approach these people in that way. Stop thinking they have power and authority over you, when even if they ever did, they have breached every single rule in the book. And so it's up to us to now withdraw service from them, because they are failing and have failed miserably in providing any service to us at all. And if you think the roads and all this sort of stuff is service, no, it's all done by private companies, folks. None of these are done by governments. These are all done by contractors who could do all the stuff they do without the governments getting in the way. What the governments have really done to you is they've given you service by spraying the sky with all these wonderful lines and saying they're doing it to help us. Apparently there was some sort of geomagnetic event as well, if you believe such things, and that's what caused the red sky. I mean, who knows, folks? Maybe they're spraying to cover that up as well, or maybe the whole thing's bullshit. And they're just exterminating the people. But anyway, I'm going to leave it here for now, folks. It won't be another month before I bring you a show. And thank you for letting me have this time off. It's been really good to have this time off, actually. I left Croatia a little early. I just kind of went away and hid myself away in a place that doesn't need to be disclosed. And I just kept to myself for a good 3.5 weeks. And didn't do anything until I sort of came out of my cocoon and came and contacted a friend and came to visit them in Sedona. And I'll be heading back to Mexico in the next couple of days. And then I've got other stuff I've got to do. I'll be back in the United States again in a week or two. I've got French and Croatia over here that I need to catch up with. And also the person that I'm staying with has developed a bit of a health issue. And I'm only really going back to Mexico because I want to grab the Tesla machine and bring it back and put her on the Tesla machine and see if it helps this issue. And if it does, I will definitely keep you posted on that. But yeah, that's about all I have to say. Thank you for letting me have this time off. And, you know, I didn't receive too much hate mail and too many people saying I was dead all over the internet and stuff. You know, generally when I have a week or two off, you got people posting saying, oh, Max is dead, he was shot by police. He's just, there wasn't any of that this time, so that's good to see. And sorry I haven't answered too many emails, or, you know, I've been putting all these interviews off. I might get a chance to do an interview perhaps during the few days that I'm back in Mexico. There is a chance. Or if not, then perhaps when I get back to the United States, I might be able to organise answering some of these interview requests as well. But I don't really know. But thank you to all the people who continue to send me so many kind emails, and thank you for slowing down for the last month. I think a lot of people sensed I just needed time off, and a lot of the emails kind of slowed down in the last month, which has been really good. Unfortunately, contributions also really slowed down, folks, so if you're possible, if you are possibly able to help, it would be greatly appreciated. Like, I do all the stuff that I do really, really cheap as well. Like, it might seem like Max travels all over the place, but I do cheap flights. I stay at friends' places. I mean, it's been kind of difficult because I haven't really lived anywhere stable for just over 4 years now. And it kind of, it gets to you a little bit, you know, after a while. So, but anyway, thank you for any contributions you can give folks through Stripe. I mean, that's all I've got left. I'm still banned everywhere else. You know, banned on PayPal and banned on Patreon. And Subscribestar, they never even let me open it. Substack, they flooded it with bots, so I can't actually post anything. It's crazy. But anyway, we continue. We do what we can. But anyway, thank you to anybody who does place a kind comment or send a kind word or send me a kind email or make a contribution. I really do appreciate it. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it here for now. Like I said, it won't be a month before I bring you another video report. I will get one done soon, but I am still pretty busy up until probably mid-December. But we'll just see how it goes. I'm sure I'm going to be able to bring you more videos than I have been. I just needed some time off. I've had a lot of stuff sort of compounding in my mind that I just needed time out to, you know, a bit of meditation, you know, a bit of sorting myself out, a bit of time for myself. We all need to do that now and then. But hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm back on the front line and I will speak to you again soon. Please take very good care until then, my friends, in Lakesh. It really is a spectacular landscape, isn't it?
My name is Shmuley, and today we're launching Shabbat, our Jumanoid for the home.
Shabbat, yeah, the new at-home robot.
You live with a robot now?
Yeah, I mean, now I can do my laundry on the Sabbath. He does my taxes every quarter. I just go to work, and he takes care of all the schlepping, buddy.
Oy vey, you gotta be kidding me.
No.
Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Haolam Ulehadlik Ner Shel Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.
Mazel Tov.
Are you sure this is okay?
Yes. Please proceed as you wish.
Order your Shabbat now, the world's first at-home Jumanoid.